Tonight, political cartoonist Scott Stantis rides sidecar with Patty, and we have State Senator Dan Katowski for It Ought to Be a Law. Then later, we have a midweek music treat as Natalie Meyer performs in studio. All that and so much more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Thank you so much for listening Pretty Late, and this is the building is decked out in Blackhawks. This is the huge, are there banners and scrims? Are those with the big curtains?
Yeah, I think that's a scrim.
Scrim
that sounds good.
To all the big offices, and it's, mm-hmm. It's all the guys in there.
Yeah, when they unveiled those banners, that is awesome.
That looks very
one goal,
cool.
One goal.
I'm going to be doing a show on Saturday night at Zany's. So for those of you who would rather get your Blackhawks updates during a stand-up comedy show, I will have my phone on the stage. I will have – you know what? I'll actually have Craig text me when they go. And by the way, when Craig texts me, I'm going to have it do the horn, right?
Cool. No, and I'll also do a photo while I'm texting you, and I'm probably going to be at a bar, so they're going to be drunk photos.
Okay, drunk photos from Craig. So please come to Zany's in St. Charles and go to zanies.com for those tickets. Actually, and I'll be there on Friday night. There's no Blackhawks game. So if they win on Saturday, I'm going to be trapped because we have all these things that you're supposed to do consistently as part of the superstition. Now, a lot of fans were not allowed to wear their Blackhawks gear in certain parts of the Tampa Bay Lightning Stadium, and they were turned away or whatever. I know that the WGN's Mark Sapelsa said they did a piece on a guy who did show up in his gear. I don't know how that turned out, so I'll have to watch that on WGNtelevision.com. But
I mean, what if you wore nothing else? Are they going to give you clothes? If you had Blackhawk pants and a Blackhawk shirt on, mm-hmm. would they take that off and give you other clothing?
Like when you go to a fancy restaurant and you don't have a jacket and tie?
Exactly. Like they hand you
I like
one?
That.
What do they do there? I would wear Blackhawk pants and see what they would do.
Yes. Take my pants.
Right.
I dare you to take my pants.
So I can't wear these?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and do this. And Blackhawk maybe underwear too, just to really kick it up a notch. That got a reaction from Rob. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jill, what do you think about the fact that they were barring people from wearing, or should people go pantsless? I know our very own Elliot Serrano goes pantsless.
Don't go pantsless.
I don't want to see anybody pantless.
Yeah.
Right.
That would really frighten me.
And that's Tampa's fault, because if they make you take the pants off, they made you naked.
They asked for it.
Right. So then they're forcing their fans to get naked.
Yes.
And that's not nice at all.
Well, they are causing a contentious situation. I mean, you tell Blackhawks fans they can't do something. What's the one thing we all want to go down there and do now?
Right.
All want to go down there. I'm going to be down there. So what are you doing that's exactly the same, Craig? Are you doing something exactly the same as game one?
I have always been at a bar if I wasn't working. So I'm going to keep that tradition alive.
Well, that works for me because I've always been at a restaurant.
Right.
Restaurant bar area, right?
You got to keep that up.
I'll be above a restaurant bar at the Zany's in St. Charles and Pheasant Run.
Can you,
please
if
come
the,
to the
Blackhawks
show.
Start losing, can you swing out and go down to the restaurant area for a little bit and then come back up?
Okay, yes, good. I can do that.
Like, do a pause on stage.
Yes. Okay. Everyone hold that thought. I have to go down and make sure that the Blackhawks score.
I'm not going to hit that last punchline. Just give it a few minutes.
Use your imaginations.
Uh-huh.
Rob, what are you doing that is exactly the same?
It's actually something that I'm not doing. Any time that I wear a T-shirt. Mm-hmm. Any one of a number of jerseys that I have, including one signed by Jeremy Roenick.
Nice.
Or anything like that. Or we put out our Blackhawks flag at the front of the house. They lose. So I have not looked, touched, put anything out, worn anything Blackhawks, other than the stickers that I have on the Jeep.
Hmm.
Through the whole playoffs.
Okay.
Just, I can't do it.
All right.
Because when I
like
do
it.
That,
mm-hmm.
they
bad,
lose.
Bad things happen.
They do.
Now, Jill, you were sleeping because you are a mama. Right?
Yeah, there was just so much going on. It was such a long day.
You weren't sleeping.
No, for this last, not yesterday's. Was that yesterday when they played?
You were in the traffic. Now, you must come on Saturday and sit in the traffic.
Well, I can guarantee you there is no rhyme or reason for what I do lately, mm-hmm.
yes.
So wherever I am is okay.
Okay.
Because it seems to be working.
I like that. Let's see what Ariel does.
Listen.
Hello.
Hey there. How are you?
Hi. Now, Ariel, what do you do for Blackhawks games?
Well, first of all, I have to tell you, I'm an educated person, but I am totally convinced that I am responsible for a number of Blackhawk wins by virtue of my protocol.
Okay.
So in my living room, I've got the urns of my two beloved departed dogs, Misty and Maggie.
Misty and Maggie.
Misty and Maggie. And I have to touch the first urn, Misty, and then the second urn of Maggie, both with my right hand, before the game begins. And only after I do that do I sit down and watch the game. Every time I've done that, we have won. And I'm totally convinced that I am responsible for these wins. At least in part.
Can I say this? Do you remember the nights you did not? So you can correlate that directly to the Blackhawks' losses?
Actually, I'm a season ticket holder. So when I go to the games, we usually win. And I've been to the two triple overtime games. And I also, I deeply believe that because I sit in my seat and have the good karma that the Blackhawks are winning. How sick is that?
It's not sick at all. Jill.
I'm just getting a kick out of you.
Great.
I think it's, no, you're awesome. The way you're delivering it is really funny.
I also like the fact that he's pretending he doesn't believe in it. The whole time he's telling you, he's like, how sick is that? It's so weird. But you believe in it, and good job, Ariel.
I think whatever it takes to guard ourselves mentally to whatever happens next.
No, you have to not be confident, even if internally you are. I always knock on wood. I always say maybe they'll lose.
Yeah, you can't be arrogant. You can be confident, but you can't be arrogant. That's the kiss of death right there.
Yes, I think Ariel's showing confidence with a smidge of, I know this is crazy. That's exactly how you're carrying that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love
but
it.
But deep down,
I premised it by saying I'm an educated person. So.
Yes, you are, I think you have conveyed that very well.
But deep down, he knows it's not crazy. Deep down in there, he knows that we're all helping them win. Good luck.
So we haven't talked about this. So if you do all the things that you're supposed to do, and in the pattern in which you have done them, and then they still lose, then is that not on you, or do you go back and dissect exactly what you did to see where you went wrong?
No, you're totally right. I dissect it. I reevaluate it, and if I need to adjust a little bit, maybe use my left hand and touch the Misty urn after I touch the Maggie urn. You just got to try that stuff out.
All right. And so, Bickles and Kane and Sharp and Shaw, do whatever you're going to do, as long as we touch Misty and Maggie in the right order, and Craig is the bar he needs to be at, and Rob has his stickers, and I've got my shirt that I haven't washed. Everything will be fine.
Wait, and hopefully I'm passed out.
And hopefully Jill is passed out.
There you go.
And Patty, there's only one thing to say to all of that, don't you?
Yes, what?
That was impressive, Rob.
Just keep it up. Just keep it up.
Best horn in the business.
Best horn. That was my favorite moment we've ever done on radio.
I think that was fantastic. I'm not wearing the right bra for that. More after this on 720 WGN. Jill, do you blend a lot of stuff? I don't know if you're... do you think you'll make your own food for DJ?
No.
Okay.
Only because, I'm not opposed to it. I just don't want to do anything wrong, and I'm just leaving it up to the experts.
Let me tell you that you can't do anything wrong. For, like, let's say chicken.
Yeah, like there's a chunk in there or something. I just don't want there to be a chunk that, like, he chokes on because of me. That's my only fear of something like that.
That makes, I understand completely. There are ways to strain. I did when Declan was little, especially try to, like, account for a lot of different things in his diet because of his disorder. But I blend a lot now. So I don't know. Do you ever make like smoothies or?
My husband does, and he has like the fruit and the banana, like maybe peanut butter in there.
Ooh.
And the kale and stuff.
That's
and
what
he
forgot.
Yeah, he does it all every morning.
The peanut butter is so important because it's got the protein,
and it's so good.
I don't know why I didn't do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
On my blender, so I was in a hurry and I wanted to make a big batch so that I would have enough for today and tomorrow,
sure.
So that I'd be ready to go. But I also put coffee in mine and cocoa powder.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So I get my coffee. I don't have time for both my smoothie and my coffee.
I understand
so
this.
So I put them together. So I've got blueberries, pineapple, strawberries, blackberries, and kale. The kale really does. Oh, and the pineapple really masks the kale, just so everybody knows.
Yeah, you don't taste that at all. At least not when ripe.
Yeah. And then ice to make it really cold and the consistency that I enjoy. But it does turn out, it seems as though, and if you go to my Facebook page, you'll have seen that I already posted this today, but no pictures because it was really too much of a mess. That line that says, do not fill above this line.
Yeah.
It's not a suggestion.
it's not something that you can or cannot do.
No, you really gotta adhere to that.
Oh.
I don't think I really went beyond the line By a little. I went by past that line by too much. And I think that the items that I blended expanded upon being, you know, pulverized. Because, I mean, the amount of mess that just... And it was... Wow, it was a lot of force in that.
Ooh.
And it was on the ceiling, on the walls, the cabinets. And I had to pull my stove out because it got in between the stove and the countertop.
Oh.
It was the biggest mess. And I will say that, have you ever made a mess so big that you're like, well, at least my kitchen's getting a really good cleanup now? You're like, well, this is, my kitchen has never been this clean before in my life.
No, but I like that positive thinking.
Yes.
I just think, oh, man.
You do not want to get behind your stove. That's
that. No, you don't. That's creepy.
But you got to do it. Oh, it's bad. There's some there because otherwise, you know, if I leave that sticky kale,
yeah,
pineapple, blueberry, blackberry, you know, I had to pull out the stove.
You don't want ants to live in your home and invite all their relatives because
yes.
My husband loves honey.
And
so if he ever has tea or whatever, he's just a big honey guy. And it leaked.
Oh.
And I was like, what the heck? It was just really sticky. I'm like, oh. So I'm scraping it out. Like,
yep.
That's, you know, I'm just like, this is, and I have the contact paper down on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know,
yeah.
I always put contact paper down because you don't know it was there before. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't coming off. It wasn't like you could see it to pull it off, but it's just sticky.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't like bugs as it is. I'm terrified of ants. I don't want any part of it.
No, answer, and they never stop.
They
never.
That's,
I mean,
just it, Patty. They have huge families.
No, and I think they do have huge families.
Yes.
I mean, like, they make my family look puny in comparison, and I'm Irish and Mexican. These ants are, and now do you see, Griffin used to get very upset when we would do things like we would find the colony outside and we would pour hot water on it.
I have no problems with that. I would aid in the process.
Yes. And you don't want to think about too much. You don't want to think about a million voices screaming out at once, but, you know.
No, you know what, Patty? You don't want to be happy about it, but
no, you don't want them in your home.
Exactly. You're only going to be in my home if I invite you in. If you come in uninvited, you're gone.
Well, and yes. And the other thing is that ants are just a precursor to the other horrible thing. You know, you talk about their relatives. What about their, you know, their in-laws, like the roaches? You know,
it's true.
And then, like, they're just a precursor. They're harbinger for much worse things that can happen in your home.
Everybody gets ants. It's you can't, you know, I don't care how clean you are. They come in through the foundation. It's just, it creeps me out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there are certain ants that it could also ruin the foundation of your home. They can get into the walls. There are certain kinds that eat the wood or different. Yeah, they're not good for the stability.
Those big army ants. That's what we used to call them as kids. They look like you can ride them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pick a hump. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
That's the ants are just.
I'm gonna have bad dreams tonight, and I don't need to analyze it. I already know why.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. It was Craig. I had a blender accident today.
I heard as much.
Yes, exploded all over my kitchen.
And now you have ants everywhere.
No, I just had to clean a lot. Yes, the ants were already coming in through the living room. It's like they anticipated that I would make a big mess because they were coming in through the living room yesterday. Once the weather warms up, the ants start to go. They get frisky.
Oh, the blender's out. Let's line up.
They heard about the party, Patty.
They heard about the party. And everyone on my Facebook page was like, well, hope you didn't waste the tequila. No, I believe me. God, how horrible would that be? Well, how bad of a mom do you feel? Yes, you get to enjoy a cocktail sometimes, but you also don't want to have your whole kitchen smell like your favorite cocktail when you're, you know, where your children eat and you make their meals and you smell like it's a, you know, it's last call, like the cactus.
So then if you accidentally spilled margaritas or something, would you have to spill something more child friendly next to get away? To get the smell away, like spill a bunch of chocolate
Kool-Aid.
Milkshakes?
Yeah, milkshake is good.
Right.
Yeah.
All over the place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to mask the tequila.
You're really going to have a party then, Patty.
It's a real party.
I think so.
Sounds like a mudslide.
I had a mudslide after the Blackhawks clinched it with the Ducks.
When it first gets really warm, a mudslide is wonderful.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's dessert.
It is.
With booze.
Yeah, it's a snack.
Yeah.
It's a snack.
Yes, Jill?
It is dessert. You can't have like 10 in a row. You'll blow up.
I feel like you've tested that out.
I did, actually.
You can't, because it was a very specific number. You can't have
have
10
in a row. I was at Cancun, and it was like the bar was around the pool, you know, the, all-inclusive.
Yes.
And I just kept swimming up, having guacamole, salsa, and a mudslide. I was so bloated. I think I was my own flotation device that day in the water. I was like, oh.
I must float this off.
I need to see Jill slam mudslides. We need to make her do that in studio.
You need to take me out one night and actually have me have a cocktail because it's been since before I was pregnant. Yeah, well, I need to get out.
Well, since we don't get, see, now Ro Khan has the Carnarvon wagon, right?
He has
happy hour. So we've been talking about doing something on Friday nights.
Last call thingy.
Mm-hmm. I think because I know that was what Pete used to do was
he
last
did,
call.
He did, yeah.
He did last call. I think that we need to do last call.
Right. Or a drink of the week. We don't have to call it a last call. Let's do a drink of the week.
Right. Because last call will be at 2. We're not going to make Jill and Rob stay till 2 in the morning.
No. We'll give them a drink of the week at 11.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week at 11-ish.
I'm pretty late. You can take a break.
Well, we can't start the show with it. Oh, maybe we should. Maybe Friday night we start the show with the drink of the week. Let's take a break. And we'll talk about it off the air. And then we'll talk about it on the air. And then we'll see what we think about that. 720 WGN.
Ooh, yeah. What is that? What is that? I don't like that.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. This is a call to all. It ought to be a law. Put it on the book, Springfield, and pass the vote. This is a call to all. It ought to be a law.
Oh, you know what that music means. It's time for It Ought to Be a Law. And joining us in the Allstate Showcase studio, this is very exciting. I think that I needed this to happen all the time. I have State Senator Dan Katowski joining us. And we also have the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. This is great. This is like a little party.
Woo!
Yeah. Yes. I feel bad. I have to bring food next time, food and drink. Would you not hide behind the screen, please, sir?
You're a senator, for crying out loud.
Yes.
Act like it.
Yes.
You guys are. Thank you, Scott.
Although, good
thank
Lord,
you.
If you actually acted like a senator, we could be in the showcase studio.
You should see how they behave on the floor of the Senate.
No, I wasn't talking about
a lot
the floor.
Of decorum.
There's lots of decorum. Decorum up and down the aisles.
Decorum up the wazoo.
Up the wazoo. Definitely up the wazoo. Yes. 312-981-7200.
Can I go?
Is it too much already?
This isn't going in the right direction.
Welcome to the state of Illinois.
As soon as we heard the word wazoo, I was like, okay.
Oh, no. Yes. 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls and texts for what you think ought to be a law. Jill Urchick is joining us in the studio to say hello to the senator. Please feel free to say hi to Jill. Yeah. 312.
One more time.
Don't let us interrupt you. We're just doing a radio show.
No, she's because Senator Katowski has only been live in the Allstate Showcase studio on the first night I ever did this show and did this segment. And then once over Christmas, once when you were here. This is the fourth time.
Oh, that's
I think.
It.
This is
wow.
the fourth time.
So I've been here 50%
of the
time. In
over 2 years, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you also moved your night. Go ahead.
They say the fourth time's a charm.
I can't take a selfie right now because I'm
on the air.
Here, let me take I can take a picture of both of you. Hold on. You go ahead and talk, Scott.
Yeah. What would you like me to say?
Yeah.
The listeners.
Now, you didn't get a chance to go down to Springfield, Scott.
I did not because we have no travel budget.
Oh.
For the Chicago Tribune, yeah.
Neither do I. I'm going on my own dime.
Well, okay. So you're...
I'm not independently wealthy.
Oh, did you take the van?
You know what's funny? I want to take the fan van sometime to go to Springfield, roll up in the WGN Radio fan van.
You know what would
just
be great?
Can I park in your spot?
Scott, what Patty was just doing to you was just, she's like saying she's better than you are because she put things out of her own
yeah,
money.
Yeah, she's a better person.
Coming to Springfield, yes. She's a better person.
But everyone knows that.
Everybody
didn't
knows
say
that.
I'm a better person. I'm just saying.
You are.
Well, no, here's the difference. I have
no, really, you are.
No,
it's not.
No, seriously, she is. Really.
Seriously.
It is because I've lived here my entire life, and I'm tired of sitting on the sidelines. I'm tired of everyone complaining or people not getting involved, and I went down there to find out what's going on down there. And
so that's my job description you just dissed on. So
no, I'm emotionally,
I sit here and complain. That's
I'm
my
also,
job.
I'm emotionally invested, too. I'm saying you have not lived here your entire life. You're
no.
a transplant from Alabama. I have never lived anywhere else except for the state of Illinois. And what I've told our listeners is I want more, and I think that the state deserves more than what's going on right now. That's all. But that's really the point.
I think it's a perfect example of what we've talked about on the show, the importance of getting involved and having your voice heard.
Mm-hmm.
And because not enough people go down to Springfield and participate in the process.
Or even go to your representative's office
yeah.
or call.
or know who your representative is.
Yes.
Seriously.
To remind people, your district is the
28th District. Which includes all the parts of Park Ridge, Elk Grove, Des Plaines, Hoffman Estates, Schaumburg, Roselle, a little bit of Bloomingdale.
Okay. And and you have been working very hard. I know that people will make jokes like, well, yeah, I guess they passed what the state pie is. But do you know that you passed what the state pie. Do you know what the state pie is?
Oh, sir? Good God. Did they really?
Do you know what it is? It is. It's the pumpkin pie.
Yes.
It is the
pumpkin.
Pumpkin pie. The state vegetable is corn.
I've been focusing on getting investing money for education, and you call me at the state pie.
You've built a wall. I saw you build a wall one day.
I built a pie wall.
No,
yes.
You built a wall that you said that you'll have to go through this wall to get to our most vulnerable, to people who are aspiring to higher education. You said go through this wall, and it's always inspiring to see you and many of the other lawmakers make speeches about the most important issues in the state of Illinois, just pie.
I think there's this idea out there that people who are receiving support from the state that they're not worthy of it. And my point of saying this is that they're seniors who are living in their home. Mm-hmm. They've worked hard and played by the rules. They've been part of the fabric of their communities. And it was good enough for them to be in part of the community when they were their kids were going to school there. Why can't they stay there? And why can't we bring the services to them in their homes? Because if we don't do that, it's going to cost taxpayers a lot of money. Significantly more money if they end up in a nursing home somewhere.
Right. The bill that you were talking about was the criteria by which it's determined.
Called the DON score, Determination of Need score.
Right.
And what there's some people out there, they want to raise it, make it more difficult. And it's going to impact about 39,000 seniors. And so the argument I make on the floor is that when you invest in people in the state, when you invest in seniors, you save lives, you create opportunities, you save tax dollars. And this is, to me, it's about, the argument has become about a political argument. It's about individuals. Mm-hmm. And we're losing sight of what we should be focusing on, which is the people who are receiving the support for the services that are out there that are essential, that mm-hmm. are essential, that make a difference in their lives.
And the budget that was has been proposed by the General Assembly still, and the governor's budget as well, had a $3 to $4 billion gap. So I mean, everyone, because it was based on the assumption that those that the pension reform would go through at the Supreme Court. So once that fell through, his budget also had a shortfall.
Yeah, it did.
Right. So everyone's talking about, well, how does the General Assembly, how does the supermajority Democratic General Assembly want to pay for these things? Well, the same question can be put to the budget that was put forward by the governor. But in order to have any talk about generating revenue, apparently he wants to have, or the executive branch wants to have reforms on workman's comp. That was one of the things that was discussed today. And, Representative Sandak was talking on Justin's show and says that the General Assembly really hasn't, given any good effort towards having those conversations. And I've been there for them. It does seem as though there has been work done in that direction.
Well, I think, you know, part of the argument could be made is that the administration waited till the end of May to mm-hmm. start making the argument through legislation that was filed. Typically, when we have a discussion about a bill, it'll start early on in the legislative session, and there will be a robust discussion and figure out ways to improve it. So, part of this is, I think, delaying and not introducing legislation. But I think the other part of it is, what I believe has been laid out is, and I've stated this on the floor, is an investment plan. There are 2,046,000 public school kids in the state of Illinois that benefit from an education. Mm-hmm. And there are 500,000 students in community colleges and in our public universities. There are several hundred thousand seniors that benefit from programs. And there are countless number of people who have lived with developmental disabilities. And we know there's 15,000 kids with autism and the autism program. We know that those are real people. And what I said in the Florida argument on the budget said, here's the investment plan. If the governor agrees with the investment plan, let's find the resources to pay for it. If he disagrees with it, he can manage within the budget. He can line item veto it, or he can veto the budget. But I wanted to be very clear to people. It's like, the goal, of course, is to live within the means provided by taxpayers. But what taxpayers are also saying to us, they're saying that we want you to invest in education mm-hmm. and help to create opportunities for our kids and invest in the people who are struggling to make ends meet, who are working hard and playing by the rules. I mean, the fact is we have a child care program that's a great program. It's helped hundreds of thousands of moms and dads be able to go to work, mm-hmm. go to jobs, right? It's part of welfare reform. but they don't have the dollars available to pay for childcare. Well, this helps defray the cost of childcare so they can go to work and go to school. And it's been successful. It's an important component of, I think, doing what we need to do in order to make sure that folks who work hard and play by the rules have an opportunity to rise up the economic ladder. And these aren't people who are looking for handouts. They're looking for a chance to be able to, you know, grab at the brass ring, right? To be able to achieve success
and provide for the kids and provide a better future.
Exactly.
And that's the thing too, is a better future for Illinois. Yes, Scott?
No, I was just going to jump in and say, but all this costs money. All this comes from someplace else. And you're not going to find a government program. It's very difficult to find one that is just foolishness. Okay. It always helps somebody. But the alchemy of all this is that the money has to come from some other place. And, you know, you just talked about the governor introducing the legislation now, but Springfield has a reputation. You've always kicked the can down. I mean, you guys aren't afraid to vote about pies, but the serious hard lifting doesn't happen until the last couple of weeks. We know that. That's the process. That's how it's been the MO down there for years. So my question is, and I think as an Illinoisan, as a taxpayer, is this, is there enough money to go around? And it just never seems to be enough money. I mean, living here in Chicago, where we get taxed about a nickel and dime to death.
Right.
And then you look at a state that seems to be, you know, we have state planes. Who the heck knew that? So the governor, in a vindictive move, decides to ground them so that Madigan and his friends can't fly back and forth. Should the listeners, should the taxpayers pay for state planes so that Speaker Madigan can fly, you know, have the planes waiting at Midway, show up, fly down to Springfield and do his work? That to me seems, and that's just emblematic. It's a small part. You and I mean, that's a fraction. That's a 0.0001% of that budget.
Right. It's the principle of it. But I mean, the point that you raise, and I think it's very interesting that, you know, we come to this place every year. You say that, you know, while this happens, like things are kicked down the road, and we wait for months to do things, or it happens overnight. It never really happens overnight. It doesn't. And I think that's a misnomer. People talk about this we talk about it forever. We've talked about things for years. I've run bills for several years, and all of a sudden they materialize and they kind of get the response that I was hoping for as a legislator. I worked on a bill and worked on that with my colleagues, and it impacts $46.8 billion worth of spending. The Grant Accountability and Transparency Act, where now you can't have a conflict of interest to receive a grant, right? You have to have audited financials. You have to submit a budget. You can't have someone with a criminal background. I mean, we've had problems in the past. And if you fail to achieve your performance goals in that, you will lose your grant dollars and you'll be on a list of suspended grant recipients. The newspapers don't necessarily respectfully report on that because that's positive news. That's a positive development, right? And it's one of the things that, if I were to tell you over the past 5 years that I introduced legislation, I was successful to cut my salary by $3,100 a year, you would know that because it's not necessarily that something reported on. And it's, you know, I cut my own office budget by 22%. And I think it's important to be able to live within the means that are out there. And you're rightly so pointing out something that, you know, people aren't aware of, right? They weren't aware of this expenditure. Should we be doing whatever we can to cut waste, fraud, and abuse? Without question. But the better argument, I think, to have is, what do the people of the state of Illinois want to invest in? And you rightly pointed out, said, should we be investing in, you know, in planes, right? In state planes. Well, with the people that I hear from my district and throughout the state, they said they want their kids to be able to have a world-class education. They want to be able to, because college is completely unaffordable in the state and across the country. They want to be able to attend world-class institutes of higher learning and be able to get the jobs that are out there. That's what they're saying. So how do we invest in that? And the fact is, you're right, that it does cost money to do that. And how do we get that conversation centered on that? How do we get the conversation centered on the reforms you're talking about? But how do we get to a place where we can say that, you know, this isn't going to be, anything isn't going to happen, quite frankly, for free. And I know people are being nickel and dime to death, and it's sad, right? But what people need to hear and should know about is the fact that their dollars are translating into results that are positive.
And now we just need more of them. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez of the 20 WGN. More after this when we come back with the editorial cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis, and State Senator Dan Katowski of the 28th, somewhere in Schaumburg, Roselle, Park Ridge. I got to write these things down.
The 28th district.
28th.
It was in the 20s.
Hi, it was in the 20s.
Hi, Dan Katowski. Nice 20th. To meet you. It's a pleasure.
Loyola Academy graduate.
Great radio show.
Loyola Graduate Academy.
Lane
more
Tech.
This.
I wanted to go to
Lane Tech. LA. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, just hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio with two of my favorite guests. I have the editorial cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. You didn't bring any cocktails tonight.
I did not. I brought in lozenges. Yeah. It's always something.
It's a little bit of a letdown.
I'm sorry.
I'm not going to lie to you. Is Walgreens still open? I'm kidding. We don't.
Are they alcoholic lozenges?
They are not, nor are they medicinal anything.
All right.
They do help my throat.
That's all right. We're moving cocktail hour to Friday nights. That's so you can
I'm
come,
sorry.
You can come
now
on.
I feel
no, you
bad.
Come on, you can come on Fridays. But State Senator Dan Katowski's in the studio as well. And I was telling you off the air that but by the way, Rob Martier, if you want to jump in, you're more than welcome to. I was telling him that Leader Lou was on a couple weeks ago. We've had Representative Martwick was on this week, as was Senator Connell. We've had a lot of people on. Why are you making faces at all these guests?
I love those guys. They're wonderful people.
Senator, you know, you said something to me off the air one night. You said one of the things that you're not quite sure, you're never quite sure what to say to me because I'm like an 80-year-old woman who just doesn't care anymore. I'll say it all. Yeah. I got no filter.
That.
I got no
did
filter.
I say that?
Yeah, you did.
No.
Yeah,
really?
You said when someone gets to that age where they're just going to say whatever's on their mind.
They just pop it out. It just comes out.
Even
that's called Tourette's.
No, it's not.
You can't say off the record to me. Everything is fair game.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, there used to be like a stage where you'd be talking to someone and say, oh, it's nice to see you. How you doing? Oh, by the way, you have a pimple on your nose. You know what I mean? So some people go right at it like, hey, you got a pimple on your nose. And listeners, I'm sorry, but there's some people who do it and then get away with it. Patty's one of them.
My skin's clear, by the way.
Your skin is clear.
It's beautiful.
But what you've learned is that every conversation we have is fair game unless you say, please don't say this on the air.
What's the point of saying, please don't say it on the air?
You've never said that to me.
I've never said that.
You've never said that to me. There is a representative that has.
Please don't say this on the air.
Yes. And they said off the record, and then I forgot.
Oh, really?
Yes. We don't have to say which representative it was. I totally forgot that they had said not for the record.
Well, you can say, just so you know, there's no such thing as off the record.
I decided to pick and choose what I thought he meant about that.
Oh, that was good for you. Your relationship is fortified.
I'm sure Representative Drury's thrilled with me. I don't mind. What? He can come after me. What's he going to do, come find me? I'm right here in the Allstate Showcase studio. No. Tell me why you voted present on rape kits. Please tell me why you voted present on rape kits, on funding $6 million on rape kits. We have a backlog of thousands of... That's not what I asked him about. We didn't... it was millionaire tax that I asked him. He said off the record. But anyway. Yeah, he voted... How do you vote present on that? What high pitch did I just hit right there?
That was high, though.
Am I wrong? Sound. When you vote present, what sort of statement does that make?
It's really a non-statement.
Yes,
you know?
Isn't it?
It really is. I mean, so I think I've done it once.
Do you remember what it was for?
No. Once or twice. But there's literally, you know, thousands of bills.
Right.
And so... either you're a yes vote or you're a no vote.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like you're like 50.5% to 49.5% leaning one direction or the other. But the fact is, I've always said, all due respect to my colleagues, I'm like, you know, I mean, a present vote is a soft vote.
Yeah.
Didn't the Republican caucus just do this on the millionaire tax?
Yeah. I got to break? Okay. Then can they stay? Can you stay?
Yeah, everyone can stay.
Everyone can stay.
I'm not leaving.
And I think Craig had a question about voting present.
I did.
More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I'm pleased to introduce you to Natalie Meir, who has her CD released, Party Tomorrow at Davenport's Bar. And from her CD is Breaking Forward, also available right now on iTunes. Here she is with Almost You.
Your warm, soft eyes that look right through me. And damn you, with your smooth, strong voice that sends shivers through me. I thought this was for fun, but you threw me for a loop. I keep telling myself I don't care, but I can't stop thinking about you. You were almost everything I wanted, all that I've been looking for. You see me and you make me feel beautiful. I couldn't ask for more, but there's nothing I can do. 'Cause I know it's not our time, but it was almost you. Oh yeah. You say that I'm amazing in a million ways. So are you. You say that we'd be great together. Well, baby, I think so too. I really thought this was for fun, but the more time I spend with you, it just makes me want you more. I don't want to be without you. You are almost everything I wanted, all that I've been looking for. You see me and you make me feel beautiful. I couldn't ask for more, but there's nothing I can do. And I know it's not our time. I believe you were put in my life for a reason. I hope someday I'll know why I can't have you. All over, and all that I wanna do is hold you and talk to you. I know it's not our time, and I'll always be grateful for you, and maybe someday soon it just might be you. But for now, it was almost you.
Yeah. Awesome. Very lovely, Natalie. And where are you from originally? That's Natalie Meir, by the way. Am I saying your last name correctly?
Yes, that is correct. I was born in Philadelphia, but I grew up mostly in Michigan, and I've been in Chicago for 13 years.
Oh, and how do you like our fair city after 13 years of being here? I don't know. I always like to ask people who've moved. I mean, Philadelphia is a great city. I don't know where you lived in Michigan.
Farmington Hills, Michigan.
He's telling you, Farmington Hills. We don't need to talk too much about
it. Suburb of Detroit. Very exciting land.
Oh, there you go. What brought you to Chicago? The music school?
I went to Northwestern.
Oh.
And so after graduation, go Cats, I moved to Chicago.
Oh, well, there you go.
And I have not left.
Well, I find that I kind of love my city, but I'm glad that you have made it your home as well. And so you're playing at Davenport's.
Yes, I play there every Thursday. I was actually at a gig before this. I've been singing a lot tonight.
Have you? Do you need a lozenge? Because Scott has brought some lozenges,
oh,
by
nice.
The way.
Yeah.
We also have some water, which I'm sure that you've had access to as well. But I'll make sure we take care of you.
Oh, thank you.
Do you vote in the state of Illinois?
I do.
We've been talking a little bit of politics. As some of my listeners, some people are getting like tired of it. But, you know, one of the reasons that I think now is a good time to keep talking about it and perhaps, you know, until this. Do you consider this to be a crisis, State Senator Kutowski?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it's been a crisis for a while. And I think there's just been a very clear line that's been drawn in the sand right now as to what the future of our state is going to be. And there's no question we need to reform things and do whatever we can to address problems we have. But there's also a very clear choice between what we want to do now and in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who are going to suffer if we don't do what needs to be done. And there are students who are not going to be able to get the support they need. There are people who aren't going to be able to go to college. There's a lot of challenges we have before us. So make no mistake, I think some of the discussion has been centered around we just have to get rid of it all, right? And I agree with the fact that there have been problems and there have been people who've got us into this mess that we're in, but we can't lose sight of what needs to be done to make sure we create opportunity in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are programs that deliver outcomes that make a difference in people's lives. And that's what, you know, we just want to see that replicated.
What else do people think the state function would be? One senator, by the way, and I don't know if I should say which one. No, I have an interview with him that we are going to be playing throughout the weeks. We have about 11 interviews with senators and representatives. He said the role of the state is to educate, medicate, and incarcerate is basically what we've come down to, which I thought was an interesting way to put it. Yes. You want to know who it was, don't you?
No, I don't. No, okay. I don't want you to.
I don't want to get that context. No.
It does rhyme, but it's wrong.
He was saying that one of the primary goals is to educate, so that you hopefully avoid perhaps whether it's Medicaid or incarcerate in some ways, and actually Medicaid to avoid whether it's mental health or those with developmental disabilities. Not the primary role, but that's a lot of what the state does. I think that there's a fair
incarcerate. This is a country that has highest incarceration rate of any Western country by a lot.
And well, not only that, but we have like these government, don't we have like contracts with certain, prisons to keep, I read about this.
Well, they privatize prisons all over the country.
But that's not really, I know that you had wanted to make comments about some of the work that Katowski.
I did. I actually want to break out of character a little bit because I'm kind of a SOB towards politics and politicians, and we kind of went at it a couple of segments ago. But I did want to say this, and I think your listeners have to hear this. To run for public office, first of all, would suck. I mean, you have someone like me drawing about you. You have people demeaning and diminishing what you do. And I just want to say that, honest to goodness, take half a step back, and I have to say what you guys do is hard. A lot of you guys, it's hard work. You're conscientious, you're doing what you believe in, and it is really, really, really hard work, and there's someone out here who does appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And the fact is, I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it, and if I didn't feel like I was making a difference. And that's the reality. And one of the things that it's sometimes difficult to get used to, the constant feedback that you hear, but I also feel like, well, taxpayers pay my salary. So I work for them.
Yeah, but don't you think that the political discussions become, I mean, this is so toxic now. I'm 56 now, and it's not some old poop talking. Well, in my day, we loved each other and everything worked. It didn't. But
it was a good old person.
Thank you. Well, yeah. I'm very, very close.
Was that Gabby Hayes? What was that?
But
that was like from a Golden Girls episode. It was really good.
Stay off my lawn, you damn kids! It just seems now. I mean, just from my experience, and maybe this is coming from the pundit side of it, but I have to believe you get the same thing. It's really hard to have a serious adult discussion about anything nowadays. Anything. I did a cartoon today about Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner. And I got a conservative friend saying, you called him a her. You know, a man can't become a... I mean, it's like, seriously? That wasn't even the point of the cartoon. I mean, really? I mean, we can't discuss anything without someone taking umbrage, someone being upset, and taking it out of context. It's hard to have an adult conversation now.
Well, you know what? And I think some of it is also the way it's portrayed. And I would agree that in some cases it's difficult to have conversations that are contentious. But, you know, on the floor, about 95% of the time when we're discussing issues, we're respectful,
mm-hmm.
and we agree to disagree, and it's done so in a way that is that people would be surprised about. Sometimes, obviously, it based on what you see, it devolves into an emotional encounter and an argument that may not necessarily be the most productive. But here's what happens: just like on the playing field, when you get a disagreement with somebody on the Senate floor, you go up to them and say, "You know what? We have a difference of opinion, and I'm sorry if I lost my temper, but I feel very strongly about that." That happens so often, and it's part of the culture of being a public servant and being in the Senate. But I'm very proud of that because, I mean, I think it's a good example to follow. And I tell kids that when I go to schools.
Yeah, but we don't see compromise happening. We don't see it at the state level. We certainly don't see it at the federal level now.
No.
And it's,
I was surprised. I did see a debate on the floor of the Senate. It wasn't too heated. It was about personal information. And the two senators that were having, it was Senator Biss, and I'm not sure of the gentleman that was on the other side of the aisle. But when they it was a younger gentleman. I'll show you a picture because at one point he has his hands up like this and was a little bit combative verbally, but not too much. But when they were done, he came down to Senator Biss's desk and shook hands. And they said that was a good debate. Wasn't expecting it to go in that direction, but thank you so much for the conversation.
But I guess what I'm talking about is earlier in committee when the bills are being formed, and that can we meet halfway? And certainly in the general discussion in the echo chamber, compromise now is, I mean, if you say that, and I can tell you as a conservative and listening to the conservative, but also on the left, you hear, you get shouted down. You can't compromise on this. You can't. And it's right. Preposterous. That's not how you govern.
It's impractical. It's really impractical not to compromise. And it doesn't serve the public well. I mean, you can't, we talk about this often, can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I mean, you're not going to get a perfect bill.
Let's carry on this conversation. And, you know, we're going to get a perfect bill. Let's do it during the break. And more music from Natalie Amir when we come back. She has her CD released tomorrow at Davenport's Bar, Breaking Forward. And her CD is available right now on iTunes. The spelling of her name is M-Y-R-E. Mm-hmm. And more music from her and more conversation with State Senator Dan Katowski and the editor cartoonist with the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. Too many words. There's a lot. I shut it off. Editorial cartoonist with the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis, when we come back. Once again, we're pleased to welcome Natalie Amir, and she has a CD release party at Davenport's with her CD, Breaking Forward. And here with the title song from that CD is Natalie Amir.
A loving force, luminous, a timeless soul, undeniable love. The brightest light, radiant, magnetic charm, shining big as the sun. We all hear you telling us to laugh. We hear you telling us it's all okay. We try to feel you everywhere we go. We listen close enough and hear you say you will break forward. Through the darkness, you will be brighter than you know. Watch us loving and laughing, living larger than life, and you'll be there. Breaking forward, a person's a person, no matter how small. You showed us the rainbow inside of us all. Compassionate, vibrant, your spirit will soar. Filled with fire, love, and light, we thank you. We will break forward, we promise. We will honor what you've been. Watch us loving and laughing, living larger than life. And now we are, now we are, now we are. Broken forward, filled with light.
That was wonderful. It's Breaking Forth by Natalie Amir. And really lovely. There was something in the I was like, I can't think of anything else except for the sound that's coming. I mean, like sometimes I'll listen to a musician in the studio and I'm like, oh, I should update. I'm like, no, that was really remarkable. Thank you so much for that. Senator Gutowski, you write quite. Can I talk about the fact that you're a writer?
Yes.
Is that not okay that I
That's
talk?
Fine. I was going to ask you,
I mean, because all three of you, all four of us are artists.
And beautiful. Yeah.
They are. They really are. That's what I would ask you about as somebody who has studied and written poetry. I'd imagine that. Why do you look at me like that?
I didn't look at you anyway. Who can see?
You're like,
who
why?
Can know?
Why are you?
Who
what,
can verify?
Why are
that
you
I
mentioning? Why are you? It's on your. It's on your Facebook page.
It's
that you,
not. Does it really say that?
I think it does.
Well, who would write something like that on their Facebook
page? I don't know.
Yes, I got my master's in writing. Love to write.
Yes.
Poetry. Love to read it. Big fan of it.
Does Senator Gutowski have any deep thoughts?
Yes, I think Craig, he's good enough, he's smart enough, and doesn't know that people like him.
Oh, that was really nice.
Well, because what I was going to ask the three of you as, I mean, you know, you're a statesman, but you're also a writer. You create, you know, pieces of work. I think that you've worked on that before. I know, Scott, you just went away for a weekend, I believe. And he rented out a barn to do some work in Kenosha. And I was about to ask you all about your writing process. So how did the barn go?
It went great. I actually got a lot of work done. I'm writing some children's books and came up with an idea just before I left and went and sat down and it was raining and trees and birds and crap like that.
It sounds beautiful, all that junk.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And I cranked it out, worked on another piece and worked on, have four book ideas out of that. So it's wonderful. It's such a departure from the editorial cars too,
and the deadlines
stuff.
and things like that. And Natalie, do you find that you have to? Do you take time every day, or do you? Is it something that the process kind of comes to you, or do you lock yourself up in a barn?
It's kind of different for every song. I feel like I keep a notebook with me if there's ideas or things, but sometimes I just the spirit kind of moves me, and I sit down and I write at the piano and I come up with a melody. And other times it's lyrics that I journal.
Right.
So it just kind of depends. That last song was actually a tribute song to a friend who was killed in a car accident. An actor, Bernie Avon, you might have heard that accident that happened in September. So that was his tribute song. And that just came right from my gut.
Oh, it was really a beautiful song, a lovely tribute. And I'm sorry for the circumstances. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. We are going to take a quick break here. I don't know if the senator is able to hang out a little longer, but... you're more than welcome to more after this with the editorial cartoonist at Chicago Tribune, Scott Santis, State Senator Dan Gutowski, musician and artist Natalie Amir, when we come back on 720 WGM.
When you enter into a real estate transaction, buying or selling, your personal information becomes public record and goes on the internet. That means everyone has access to sensitive personal details about you, from where you live to what you've paid for your home. Well, Chicago Title Land Trust makes it simple and affordable to put an end to all that. Safeguarding your personal information will help protect you from falling victim to identity theft and real estate fraud. Chicago Title Land Trust Company. Protecting your privacy starts here. Call 888-878-7856.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
And he's now a congressman, isn't he? Isn't Al Franken now?
Senator. U.S. Senator from
US
the great state of Minnesota.
That's right.
Running for re-election.
There you go.
So, he actually has something where he, at events, he will draw the United States of America as one of his
Yeah, it's kind of a freaky thing.
Activities. He does it with, you know, it's
Why
unbelievable.
Why is it freaky?
It's just...
awkward? Is it awkward for you?
It's a strange thing.
Do you get uncomfortable?
For a U.S. Senator, now U.S. Senator, but he'll just start drawing, and he can do pretty much a very accurate map of all 50 states.
Well, why don't we do that during the... You're listening pretty late, and I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. In just a moment, we'll catch up some more with our guests. And right now, we have lovely music from our musical guest, Natalie Amir. Here's her song, I'm Sorry.
I'm sorry I'm just so complicated, and I'm sorry I think too much. I'm sorry I'm tall and opinionated, and I'm sorry I cry too much. Why am I always trying to change the way I am? Trying to prove myself to you. Oh, 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 oh. I've been trying so hard for you to see me changing so you can validate me. I want to prove it. I need a gold star. Oh, I'm so tired of spending my time trying to please you. Just doing everything you want to. Give me a break, dear. Don't want to do it anymore. I'm sorry I'm not always so clever, and I'm sorry I sometimes doubt. I'm sorry I constantly want to be better, and I'm sorry I call you out. Why am I always trying to change the way I am? Trying to prove myself to you. Oh, 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 oh. I've been trying so hard for you to see me changing so you can validate me. I want to prove it. I need a gold star. Oh, I'm so tired of spending my time trying to please you. Just doing everything you want to. Give me a break, dear. Don't want to do it anymore. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
Natalie Meir, her CD release party is at Davenport's Friday night. Yes?
Yes,
we say tomorrow because now people will be picky and they'll say it actually is Friday, and I'm not going to do that to you. Tomorrow night, Friday night at Davenport's Bar. She also has her CD available on iTunes, Breaking Forward, and her last name is spelled M-Y-R-E, and that must run into a lot of problems for you.
Well, it's French. Meir.
Oh, then I'm not even saying Meir. I can't do it.
You can't say it like that.
Exactly. You nailed it.
Exactly. Like Meir.
There's a picture on my Facebook page with my family and a meerkat.
And a meerkat. Well, yes. Now you'll always remember my name.
Meir. Totally.
Meir. Just quicker. I know it is too long. The R was too long. Yeah. There was no gich at the end. Did she make that noise? Meir.
I did the.
I've been teasing you about how you say my name. But you say it very well. You say Vasquez. Did I ever have to correct you along the way?
No, you tried to, and then we Googled the correct pronunciation of Vasquez. And
my mom corrects me. I used to say Vasquez.
That's the Chicago pronunciation.
Thank you.
Vasquez.
Vasquez. My mom's like, it's Vasquez. And I'm like, I don't hear the difference. It's Vasquez. Vasquez. Vasquez.
Vasquez.
Yes. We could do this for a while. It's Davide, right? Is it
Dan Katowski. That's the Chicago pronunciation.
My friend Dan Katowski.
Dan. Davide Scott. Is our friend in Italy.
Scott, you can't do anything with.
Sure you do. Scott.
Scott.
Yeah, Scott.
The OBS. Hi, Natalie.
Natalie. It's the S. It's the S.
This is where we just say each other's names repeatedly.
I don't know what's happening on our show right now. Can anyone do something with Craig? Let's try phonics.
Craig.
Craig Collins.
Craig Collins.
That happened.
You can't do much.
Yeah, just happened.
Craig Collins. It's very straightforward.
Craig.
Craig, can we go back to present vote? I wanted to know what your question was about when someone votes present for legislation.
So, Senator Dan said that present vote means kind of nothing in the political world. That's the only place where that would mean nothing. If you walked up to someone and asked them a question and they looked at you and said, present, that would mean a lot in real life.
It would mean I refuse to answer.
Yeah, right.
It means I refuse to answer the question.
It means I disagree with you, but I'm not going to say it out loud.
Yes.
Well, it's like, I don't know.
I thought he was going to say present.
Yeah.
Present.
It's one of these things where I think it's very rare when someone says, well, you know what? It's not done. It's my protest. I'm going to use it as a protest vote. But a no is much stronger. And sometimes people are like, I'm just going to vote present and just because I don't think it's there yet, and maybe it'll eventually be there, but I don't want to be on the record for voting no. I just think it's, sometimes I don't even know why it's there. I rarely have done it, But I think either you're with the bill or against it. But I guess it's for people who are – there's nuances in anything.
Is Representative Drury one of those people who seem – because he seems a little – Drury, he's a Highwood, Highland Park. I wanted to pass judgment on other statesmen.
I don't really have familiarity with his voting record. So
no, I do. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like you
do. I've been watching him. Apparently, Representative Cabello was telling me that Highland Park has like the largest number of millionaires in the state because we were talking about the millionaire tax. Mm-hmm. Which we were talking, the three of us off the air were talking a little bit about where does revenue come from, you know, and I had mentioned that I saw research that, you know, every time people talk about we're driving business out of Illinois, you know, manufacturers are leaving. No one's going to come to Illinois unless we make it, you know, cheaper and we have workman's comp is more affordable. But they always point to Indiana, and Indiana has its problems as well. While it is a state that's drawing business, they also, their CEOs are making 306 times what their employees are making. And how is that?
Yes, but their bakers' religious freedoms are protected.
Yes, they do not have to sell a cake to a gay couple.
It's very interesting that what the business community has been saying, the Civic Federation came and testified down in Springfield, and their director, their leader, said, and has a bunch of board members who are all from business, says they want predictability and consistency from the state. It's not so much the rate. At what, you know, the rate for taxes.
Consistency.
It's consistency and predictability and reliability of the government. And we're surrounded by a bunch of other states that have higher tax rates.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, the question is, you know, what can the state do to be predictable and consistent? And that's what business is saying. I met with a group of business leaders yesterday. We're all involved in startup companies. They said, we're just, what's difficult for us is the state is not where it should be. From the standpoint of they know what's going to happen. The unknown is very difficult for some of these businesses. Even though they say the city of Chicago has been growing, there's 3,500 new startup technology businesses in the last 5 years. I mean, this is really a place where people mm-hmm. are coming. And it's exciting. But they said still, at the end of the day, there's some businesses that they're for the most part, they're looking for the predictability.
Well, not just predictability, but let's be clear. Southern states particularly are looking, we're competing with those for manufacturing jobs, good paying, middle class jobs. But you're competing against states that have right to work, low taxes, incredibly crazy incentives. I mean, ridiculous levels of incentives sometimes to get factories down there. So we're nowhere near being able to compete at that level for those. Tech startups is probably one area where you are competitive.
Yeah, we've actually done a really good job because the state has a, you know, partnership with a lot of these small businesses. And there's a thing called the Technology Development Account in the state of Illinois. For every dollar it's been invested through the Treasurer's Investment Portfolio, 23 jobs have been created. It's been very successful. And it's the type of partnership that we need to see happen. And it's been successful. But, I mean, there are other states that do that, and they give away the store. But many people don't know in the state of Illinois we have something called the single source sales factor, where you're only taxed on what you know, the goods, right, that you sell within the state of Illinois. You're not taxed on, you know, if you're a multinational corporation, you're not taxed on that.
Well, I can guarantee you, though, coming from Alabama, where I worked for 13 years, I mean, they just got the Airbus factory down there near Mobile. They've gotten four automobile plants, but they did it for the very reason I just mentioned, right to work, workman's comp's non-existent, and they, you know, don't really monitor you too closely for what you spew into the air, into the water.
You know, I'm going to push back on that a little bit because, you know what, when people come to the city of Chicago and they come to say it's a world-class city, we have mm-hmm. world-class universities,
no question,
access to capital, and that's what the business are. When they come here, it's very hard to push back against this notion, which has been propagated out in the world of and the public sphere, that, you know, businesses don't want to come here. I think businesses have stayed here. Businesses do want to come here because we have this world class city and world class institutions of higher learning.
And I would agree. But there's always a but, and that is that heavy manufacturing, big manufacturing plants, or new manufacturing plants, are not coming to Illinois, but they're not coming to the Midwest.
But, you know, Scott, I will say this: there are 100,000 manufacturing jobs that are available in the state of Illinois. And one of the things that manufacturers will tell you is they're having difficulty hiring because the students that they're getting, or I should say the employees they're getting, are not trained in the way they should. And it's an increased cost because they have to pay for that training. And they need them to be prepared with 100,000 available manufacturing jobs. Manufacturing hasn't necessarily, gone away in this state. It's still a thriving enterprise. And while other states may have picked up some of these companies, but I helped start this partnership in my district with Harper Community Colleges and all these manufacturers out there to create a program where students get prepared and they get the training necessary and they get internships at these local manufacturers to get the jobs that are out there. So they get, I mean, they're well-paying jobs. So this is the type of innovative thinking that we need. But it's, you know, I think we need to, like, we can't put things in a box like this. And you know that. It's not just like people sometimes say, well, we don't have this, and that's why companies aren't coming. I mean, they want predictability, they want reliability. Well, they want access to capital, right? And they want access to opportunities, and they want to have, like, a workforce that's talented.
Well, and companies like Moody are very cognizant of the fact that our budgeting processes at city and state levels are terrible. And we really need to address those and correct those. I agree.
We are having this is a great conversation. I don't want to interrupt you guys, but I do want to interview our guest, Natalie Meir,
as well.
You didn't do anything wrong. It's me. I'm running the show
here. Apologizing for Dan.
Yes. She is saying her song, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry that Dan's so worried.
More with all of our guests. Now that she's gotten a civic lesson and everything that's going on in the state of Illinois, we'll learn a little bit more about Natalie Meir when we come back. We are hanging out with her and the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantist. And Stantist? Did I put a T at the end of that?
Sure. Look,
it's the third time I've got your name wrong.
It's a Lithuanian name. Who the hell cares?
And another one of our show favorites, State Senator Dan Katowski. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Baskin at 720 WGN. That's Natalie Meir with her song Stay in Your Lane, and she joins us live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Also joining us is State Senator Dan Katowski, the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis.
It's a full house.
It is a full house, and Natalie has her CD. Let me make sure I have the right microphone. Is that yours right there?
Yes.
No, I don't know why that's – why is that – did I not plug it in? It's 3, but it's not on. I tried plugging her microphone in. I may have created my own technical
difficulty. Here comes Craig to save the day.
Yes. Is it not? That's why. I didn't plug that part in. I should have just left her piano microphone together. She has a CD release party tonight, Friday night, at Davenport's her album Breaking Forward. There you are. And Stay in Your Lane. Can you talk to me a little bit about that? Because I often tell people, you know, they worry about everybody else. And yes. I say swim in your lane because I was a swimmer.
Oh, nice.
And it's about, because I just think that, like, you don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Is that a little bit about what that song is?
Oh, my gosh. That's exactly what it is. I've always struggled with that, with the comparison thing, mm-hmm. and just looking and just, and I find in this age of social media, you're just like always looking at other people's highlight reels on all this stuff. And you're like, you know what? Just stay focused, stay mm-hmm. in your lane. So that was the concept of that song.
That's
for
great.
Sure.
Yeah. Stay in your lane.
Or swim.
Well, yeah. Well, stay in your, but it is the same idea of mm-hmm. don't worry about what everybody else is doing. And it's the same, you know, it is that idea of someone, their career is taking off sooner than mine is, or they're making more money than I am, or they have kids, or they have more kids than I do, or they don't have kids and they get to travel. It's always about what other people are doing rather than what you're up to.
I'm riveted by your description
of just two lines from the song that she. Yeah.
She got it. She nailed it right away. Well, that is exactly what it's about.
Yes, sir.
No, is it rare for you to have that kind of focused attention from your guest?
Sorry. So weird. I don't know what you're talking about. We're talking to Natalie. Do you have any questions?
I know, but you looked at me as if I was.
You seem so confused by the fact that I understood what she was singing.
That, you're just projecting that onto me. You're confused.
I'm not swimming in my lane, Natalie. That's the problem. I'm worrying about things outside of my lane. It sounds like a lot of the music you have is informed by the experiences you observe, and obviously that makes sense as a songwriter. Many musicians do that, but you know, do you compare yourself to other musicians, or do you struggle with, you know, making sure that you just, you know, keep in your lane?
Well, I always joke that I need to listen to my own lyrics because I write about these things and then I think, maybe I should listen to my songs and my message. I try to catch myself. I mean, of course you know, oh, this person is better at guitar or better at piano or mm-hmm. all these things that can go on in your head. But I try to just be true to me and just keep, you know, be proud of where I am now. Mm-hmm. And because it just, this is actually not the path that I thought I was going to be on. I thought I was going to be a musical theater performer. Hmm. So writing music was actually not on my radar until about 4 years ago. So But now I actually think this is what I should be doing.
So you, did you study musical theater at Northwestern?
I did.
Oh, it's a very fancy school to do this.
Well.
Fancy. It's a, no, it's a great school.
What's your favorite musical?
Oh, I love Pippin.
Really?
It's one of my favorite ones.
Okay.
How I've done you? It a couple times. Yeah.
You do have one?
Do you have
Senator
one, Senator
Dan? Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny. I really liked... I liked Phantom of the Opera.
Mm.
I like that a lot.
That's a good one. It's epic.
Yes. But I also like Guys and Dolls a lot.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, my God. I'm worse right here.
Yeah. I played Love Adelaide.
That's my guilty
school.
Pleasure.
Would you play?
I'm Adelaide.
Adelaide, cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's your guilty pleasure, Scott?
Show tunes.
What's your favorite musical?
I really liked, Book of Mormon was terrific.
Okay.
Yeah. But Wicked, I think, is still, is really breaking through as one of the great musicals of all time, but anything Rodgers and Hammerstein or any of the company.
I love Music Man, but I've only seen the movie. I've never seen a live version of Music Man.
Love Cole Porter's music. Like just a huge fan.
Yeah.
Do you like Cole Porter?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like rock musicals too, though.
Do you? Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh my God! Favorite. Yes, I wore that record out when I was a kid. I could sing every part.
Yep.
When it starts out, sure.
And so the
From
king
politics
is
to music
once
theater.
Yes, right.
Absolutely. That's,
you know, I was in a church show after I graduated from college. My mom was always in these shows, and she's like, "Well, you should be in it." And I was like, "Well, I can't sing." She's like, "Oh, well, I get you to sing on tune," and she would practice on the piano and have me sing along with her, and she'd go, "Ooh." Ooh, my God, that's not good. Ooh. I'm like, Mom, I can't sing. But then she actually got me to sing on key. And
what did you sing?
It was,
well, I'm sure you remember.
You Do Something to Me. That, something that clearly mystifies me. You know?
Did you start singing when you were very little?
Yes. So yeah. My dad's actually a former hockey player, but he also played the guitar.
What?
Nice.
Yeah, Phil Meir. He was a goalie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. The Montreal Canadiens.
Yes, right.
Yeah, okay.
The
Holy smokes.
St. Louis Blues, Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah. I thought he was a Flyers, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Was born
okay.
In Philadelphia. So I know
it's... I'll never get your name wrong again.
Mir. Phil Meir.
Yeah, Phil Meir.
Oh, my gosh. I want to do that with us.
And now she's the best guest we've ever had.
She was the best before that.
Did you... Okay,
but
well...
But he played guitar other than hockey, too. So
I'm trying to imagine a goalie playing guitar. Do we have a... I think we're going to need you to bring your dad.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. Bring my dad. Well, he would play the gambler and all sorts of, like, crazy songs. And
yeah.
We would sing, my sister and I. My sister's a voice teacher. So then I just started being in choir, and then I started doing musicals, and I got the bug, and I've just always loved to sing. Singing is my big passion.
And do you have other instruments you like playing as much as a...
Guitar and so piano is my main instrument, and then singing, and then piano and guitar also.
And thank you for saying that, because when I talk to bands, I often feel like, you know, like somehow I'm asking everyone about their instrument, but yes, singing is...
That's the main one.
That's the main instrument, yes.
Yeah.
We are hanging out with Natalie Meir. She has a CD release party tonight, Friday night, at Davenport's Bar. Her CD is Breaking Forward, which you can also find on iTunes. We also have Scott Stantis with the Chicago Tribune. He's the editorial cartoonist and has had a lot of great work. And this has been a fun week to follow your work. Been also fun to follow your work, State Senator Dan Katowski, as I have been very closely for the last 7 weeks. It's been fascinating. I don't know how late you want to stay up, but more after this. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
Taking a chance, I'll be respectable and nice. Give up cards and dice and go for shoes and rice. So gentlemen, deal me out. Do not try to feel me out. I got no more evenings free. Since Adelaide, ever loving Adelaide.
That's to tribute our guest in the studio, Natalie Meir, who's played Adelaide in Guys and Dolls.
Nice.
And it's Frank Sinatra, obviously. I guess,
Nathan
obviously.
Nathan Detroit.
Yeah. Love it.
Was he Nathan Detroit? Was that the...
There you
go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They sang Sue Me. What else did they sing?
Luck be a lady tonight.
Yes.
What? Well, I don't know any of these songs.
I got the horse right here. His name is Paul Revere. Something, something, something.
Yeah,
something.
Can do.
Can do.
We'll cast all the parts during the next break.
Songs, the lyrics you don't know too for 500, Alex. I actually don't know. I'm not I don't have a good ear for music, but I mean, I don't understand music. I can't. Like, we've done live band karaoke in the studio. Do you ever do karaoke?
Fun. I do sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
What's your song?
Yeah,
what's your go-to song?
That's, you know, please.
I do a mean It's Raining Men.
Really?
That's fantastic.
Bet you Papa Phil loves that.
I'm not sure we've ever gone karaoke together.
How could you not take Papa Phil? I don't know if we're calling Papa Phil, but
is that okay? Yeah, can we call him Papa Phil?
Former goalie for the Canadians, the Montreal Canadians, and the Rangers.
Papa Phil.
And the Papa Phil, yeah.
What's your go-to song?
I've only done karaoke 3 times in my life. Twice, once at a bar on the northwest side of Chicago, once at a bar in Rapid City, South Dakota, and once right here in the studio. So I know all 3 of the songs. I have no go-to songs since there's only 3. There's I Love Rock and Roll.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's easy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Only I didn't realize how fast the lyrics were until... So put another dime in the jukebox, baby. It was... I didn't know that. The other one was... The one I tried in studio was After Midnight by Patsy Cline.
Ooh, that's good.
I go walking. I love that song. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was Garth Brooks, I Got Friends in Low Places, which turns out to be the one song I can sing.
Well, good for you.
It's my key. It's Garth Brooks. Yes.
Senator Dan, what's your go-to song?
At I karaoke love it. When you guys... Scott in the studio gets ready. Wild Thing by the Troggs.
Oh. Nice.
I used to sing it in college.
We must have him here for karaoke night, for live band karaoke night. Can we come do that on the air? No.
Okay. Scott. I had the worst karaoke experience of my life. A friend of mine in Phoenix went to gay karaoke, and he slipped the guy. He's plying me with Jaeger shots, and my wife is going, come on, you got to go up. And so I'm looking through, okay, I'm going to pick the song that's not challenging, because some of these guys were incredibly talented. I said, okay, here it is, Jungle Boogie. He hands it up to the DJ who he also told to introduce me as, he's a white Republican from Alabama, Scott Stannis. And so Jungle Boogie, by the way, has lyrics. Who knew? I thought it would just be Jungle Boogie. Right. No. Get yourself down. I'm reading this at the end of the song. I'm so lost. I'm literally just reading. Get yourself down.
If it's not familiar to you, how are you supposed to?
Who knew? Yeah. I had no. So yeah, it was horrible. I was the disgrace of gay karaoke.
Craig, what's your go-to song when you're at karaoke, gay or otherwise?
I like Friends in Low Places. Actually, that's a great song.
It's. You said. It is.
Is that your go-to song?
I don't know. I more of a run all over the gamut. I also love to play karaoke roulette, where you don't pick the song. Nice. You let the DJ do it.
I just got like tense.
Yeah, it's intense.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't even finish. I don't. When we did Patsy Cline, I can't hear the music where they are playing, and I don't have to sing. I don't. Yeah. And we didn't have like a screen that does the bouncing ball thing.
Right.
It was just here with like a sheet of music, and I couldn't. Yeah. I don't know when it's my turn. I can't hear it.
Weren't you the only one singing?
Yeah. But then they play. So you're not always singing. There's moments where you don't sing and they play. Right? There's gaps, right?
My turn.
How do I know when it's my turn, Natalie? Is there, you know?
Well, if there's no bouncing ball, then I don't know.
See?
It's hard. It's hard.
It is very hard.
I didn't know there were like people taking turns like it was a 4x4.
We had a full live band in studio.
Oh,
Natalie,
you did? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
How do you figure out how to sing during your own songs? How do you know when it's your turn?
I sometimes forget my own lyrics.
Is it my turn to go?
Is it my turn or should I just keep playing the piano? I don't know.
Is it the music's turn or is it my turn?
We all need a bouncing ball.
When you forget the lyrics, do you just hum? Like,
yep.
Has that ever happened? Live?
I mean, I sometimes start cursing, which is not helpful.
Out loud?
Well, not
in rhythm to the music.
Not now. Sometimes I just try to make something else up, and no one, unless they know the song, will really know.
Will you tell a little story before you tell the song or sing the song, or do you just go right into it?
Sometimes. I mean, I sometimes, like tomorrow at my show, I will describe a couple of the songs, and a couple of them I just want to start the song. No story needed, you know.
Nice.
Kind of depends on how I feel. On Thursday nights, you guys should come to Davenport's. Every Thursday I'm there.
I think we definitely have to come to Davenport's.
It's called Thursday Night Jams with Natalie Meir.
What time do you start?
It's 8 to 11 every Thursday.
We can do before. There's no cover, and I'm just there, and we can do Jungle Boogie if you want.
And what's the address for Davenport's? How great would that be?
Of Jungle Boogie.
Break out in the jungle.
The lounge version.
It's 1383 North Milwaukee.
1383 North Milwaukee Avenue is Davenport's. I also want to make sure everyone gets a chance to see Scott's cartoon. Is this for today or tomorrow with the Caitlin for?
Well, now today is, yeah.
Today. So that's, I do love this. I'll make sure that
Thank you. Well, he is a Republican. She is a Republican.
When has she talked about her politics?
During the interview with Diane Sawyer when she came out and said that she was having the process, mm-hmm. and she announced that she was a Republican.
This is Scott's work in the Tribune today. It's Caitlin 2016 for president, and there's a couple walking by with their dog, and the caption is, you go ahead. I'm sorry, Scott.
No, go ahead. Your voice is way better than mine.
Well, she is a Republican. It was just a matter of time.
You know it's going to pass 20 candidates? By the end of this week?
With both sides.
Republicans. 20 Republicans are running for...
Yeah, Rick Perry just announced today. Yeah, I didn't even know he was coming back. Oh, yeah, I can't remember what they all are.
That was from that debate, Senator.
That's right. Yes, Senator Perry's like, three things. Defense, education, and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was it? He was going to get rid of cabinet members or something.
Yeah, he was going to. I would just made something up. Yeah. I would just said, dogs.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be like on a stage like that when your brain just stops. You know, well, that could happen to anybody.
Have you ever done that?
Have you ever done it on the air? Well,
Have you ever given a speech and you just like a stump speech and you're kind of in the group? This happened to me in front of a really big audience. I'm giving my usual spiel. And in the middle of it, I totally forgot where I was, what I was talking about, where I was going with it.
It happens.
It's, I'm kind of crazy about preparation. And so when it does happen, I have kind of a signpost or something that like a word, but I'll keep kind of talking. And I'm
really, if that's so surprising that you just keep talking.
It's a real big surprise to a lot of people. They don't listen. Sorry. While I'm talking.
So yeah. You were heading back to Springfield on June 9th.
But that came across kind of bad, like I'm saying that about preparation. But the point is,
it's not bad.
When it does happen, I kind of talk my way through it, and I've been able to.
Do you just start cursing like Natalie here?
And I don't have a language problem like Natalie. I do not. And
I also want to make sure everyone knows that this Saturday and Sunday, our very own Scott Stantis has two events coming up at the Printers Row Lit Fest, one of which is The Beatings Never Really Stop in conversation with Phil Ponce, and that's going to be at 12:15 to 1 p.m. at Jones College Prep in the new cafeteria. Nice. And you can go to tribtix.com and get the information there and order your tickets online as well.
And then Sunday, doing a cartooning in the post Charlie Hebdo age. So that's going to be, don't bring explosives, please.
That will be at Hotel Blake at the Burnham Room. And as he said, please come and be safe because we have extra security in the lobby just for our editorial cartoonist. No joke. Absolutely true. They added security for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. No kidding.
And they seem highly trained.
Yes. Yeah, so I think sitting in a glassed-in studio facing a major thoroughfare is perfectly safe.
Oh, yes. No, this is one of the safest...
I'm going to be getting on here real shortly.
And
that was a problem.
More with our guests after this. I'm Prelia Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
And the beer chases my blues.
You're not singing with me, Craig.
And I'll be okay. We're nailing it.
Senator Degutowski is wincing.
Right.
Races.
Let's do it. Come on, let's hear Kutowski.
Your oasis, oh, I got friends.
You got to get a little yodel in here. Low places.
Sorry, Natalie. Natalie's trying very hard to...
Oh, thank you.
It's her, Natalie. Let's carry us through.
Natalie, we can do backup vocals if you need them.
Yes. That would be awesome. Yeah. Are you feeling it? You feeling that we should do backup vocals?
I think we just booked a gig, Patty.
I think we did as well. Davenport's will be there on next Thursday from 8 to 11.
I'll be mouthing the words if I'm doing backup.
Long as we do Jungle Boogie.
Yes, you have to. What's the address again?
The address is 1318 West Milwaukee Avenue.
1383.
I was close by, not at all.
That's right. You were down close-ish. It's between North and Division.
Okay. between North and Division. Excellent. Milwaukee Avenue. So that is the Wicker Park neighborhood?
Yep.
There you go. Excellent. And then we can go to, first we go to Knife and Ten, and then we go to, I have my places I have to go to.
From the 773, and Patty, I text with love, that singing, in quotes, was not great.
No, it's terrible. Yeah. I'm a terrible singer.
No, from both of us. I think that was both of us, but that's
no,
okay.
No, I'm terrible.
Thank you, 773.
Okay. Thank you. No, please be honest.
We're doing backup vocals tomorrow night at Natalie's event.
It's for her CD release party at Davenport's. She has her CD, Breaking Forward, and it's also available on iTunes. And she'll be appearing on WGN News, the afternoon show.
Yes, the midday news tomorrow.
Excellent. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be nice over there.
We can do a little song.
You have to hang out with Tom Skilling. Tell him we say hi. He knows us.
Okay.
Please tell him Patty says hi and Craig loves him.
Okay.
Craig convinced him to read Dr. Seuss on the air.
I do love him, so that's fine. You can just tell him that.
Just say,
give
Craig
him a big, big hug.
A big hug. Me.
Like uncomfortably long hug?
Uncomfortably long.
Kneading his back hug?
You don't need to do that part.
Can women give uncomfortably long hugs, or is it only for
I don't think anyone could uncomfortably long hug Tom Skilling.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I'm sure he gets that all the time, actually.
Let's talk about hugs for a moment. Let's look here for a moment.
Sure.
I think we've talked about this
before.
You're
hugophobic, right? Craig definitely is.
I have taught myself.
Patty is a reformed hugophobic. Mm-hmm. I am a current hugophobic.
Yes. We're
hugophobe.
We just tense up, and it's not quite the sort of affection that we seek out.
You don't tense up anymore, though. You're very comfortable.
It depends.
Outwardly
it
in
depends.
Your hugs.
If you hear me say, oh, we're hugging, that means I don't.
We're doing this.
Okay.
There is nothing worse than when you go ahead and do the hug, and someone's body just kind of tightens. Hello?
Yeah.
So when I first got elected, I was down in Springfield, and we have this event. It's called Cowl. There's a performance and. The women legislators put it on, and there's a woman legislator who did a great job, and I came up to her after. I was like, wow, you're great! And gave her a hug, and she just kind of stood there kind of stiffly, and everybody turned around, and I was like, did you just see that? And it's like, yeah, apparently she wasn't a hugger.
There are people who are not huggers.
Well, what's weird is the hug etiquette now. As a politician, that must be particularly vexing because, you know, growing up, handshake, hail and heart. Now everyone hugs everybody.
Yes,
if you've met them once.
Yes.
So what's
yes.
So is there a rule
no, there's
somewhere?
Like when I meet a child, I always say, "May I shake your hand?"
Yes.
And I don't reach out, right? And I say, "May I shake your hand?" And then I wait for a little boy or girl to reach out and shake my hand. I would never do anything that we're like outward.
Hester Dex.
What look like that would look anything that's aggressive or anything like that. I also found that it's a very non-threatening thing to do, and typically you have to read the situation. And sometimes you misread it. And fortunately for me, it's happened rarely, but for the most part, it's safe on the side where you just kind of
shake hands.
And,
I agree. Shaking hands is for some people though, they get uptight. They like it seems too formal to them. No, I'm a hugger. I'm a hugger now, but just not with everybody.
I'm a hugger.
I'm a hugger now. I can do it.
I'm totally a hugger.
Yeah,
I love.
We're
hugs.
French. We hug. We kiss. We laugh. We curse. She's French.
How about drink?
Yes,
we. There's a thing now where people actually say, they say, "I love you," and you don't really know them that well. They're like, "Yeah, I love you."
Love you.
And I'm like, "What? How do you respond to that?" I get that too. It's like,
I love you too.
Love you too.
Well,
I think Senator Dan's saying that I don't love Tom Skilling, and that's just not true.
No,
I definitely
not
love.
Say that.
Okay,
not
good.
Say that.
I'm aware of your love for him, and I know it knows no bounds.
Good.
Wonderful. See him tomorrow. I'm gonna
His
hug him.
Polling numbers are going to go down next time he runs for office.
Who's?
Yours. I'm just
why?
Kidding.
No,
because no, there are rumors that you don't rumors? Like that
Call
you don't
Senator
Dan
and ask why
I
does
love
he hate
Skilling.
Tom
Skilling.
Skilling.
I'm a huge Skilling fan. Don't do that to me,
right? No, don't do that to him. We were going to talk about vaping. Weren't we going to talk about vaping as well?
Yes,
there was some legislation.
We are vaping, and I'm one of us is.
One of you
oh,
is.
Oh, that's that thing.
Yes. What did you think it was?
I'm not
that
sure.
Thing. All of a sudden, I was just emitting smoke.
I was. Well, that's why I had to
mention it. Damn, he's so old. He just sort of... smokes.
The smoke comes out of him. Senator Katowski, you were talking about there's legislation to whether or not we should ban vaping from all public places.
Well, I was having a discussion with a friend today, and she smokes the vapes, not smokes, the vapes. And I was like, well, and she had indicated that I sure hope it's not regulated. And I was like, well, I thought it was regulated. And apparently it's...
It is in Chicago.
City of Chicago has passed. But not in this state or anything. No. But I don't even know what's in it. I mean, were you aware, Natalie?
What is in it?
It's an oil, and it can be infused with different flavors, different scents. It can be infused with any level of nicotine from 0 up to 24, which is the strength of a cigarette, of an unfiltered cigarette, actually. Mm. So it gets atomized. It gets turned into water vapor. You inhale it, and then you exhale it.
And we don't know what the health...
We don't.
The health...
No, I can't. I'm not going to sit here and say, this is... It's healthier than cigarettes. I can tell you that. We walk stairs, and you can tell that... I don't, you know, I'm not gasping.
No, you're fine. We did 100 floors, and you were so surprised that it took us less than 20 minutes.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting? You're like, kind of awesome. It's healthier than cigarettes.
It's healthier than cigarettes, but then, yeah, so is, you know, wood chips in your, you know, spleen. But it can't be, I'm not going to sit here and say, this is great. It's absolutely healthful. I've had people, I did a vape cartoon, and I had a number of people around the country just saying, guys who vape, women who vape, and just say, you don't know what you're talking about. Blah, blah. It's like, neither do you. We don't know. There aren't enough studies yet. It's a new science. And so the question is, which side do you err on? Do you ban it? Do you not ban it? I would err on the side of not.
Of not banning it.
Currently, because we don't know.
And you enjoy it.
Does it do anything to the environment? Or is it?
It's an oil. It's a replenishable substance. I have to imagine.
No, I mean, when people blow the smoke out, is there?
It's water vapor. No, it's not. Although, again, it's water vapor coming out of my lungs towards you. I mean, that can't, you know. So I imagine there are health concerns there if I have, say, tuberculosis.
Right. Individual concerns. We actually have an update on Garth Brooks. Terry wants to join the conversation. Hey, Terry, how are you doing?
Yeah, it's Jerry, and I just don't know if anybody said anything or not. I just read it in the Sun-Times log or something. Garth Brooks had to cancel all three of his concerts this weekend in the Tampa Bay Stadium because our Blackhawks were playing down there.
That's right.
The people, you know what? My mom always said, what goes around comes around.
There you go.
So, well, I guess Tampa Bay got theirs. I think this is so neat. Thanks a lot, Patty. Good show.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you, Jerry. Yeah, are you going to watch the Blackhawks in any particular place? Do you have like any ritual for watching the Blackhawks? You lay low. You get your work done in Springfield, and you keep your head down. And I have not seen you at any big events which is fine. I think that you're
You know what? Just at the end of session, I just wanted to go back to my hotel room, and I watched the Blackhawks.
And you don't want to get involved in any selfish selfies in a bar.
No.
Because we've already talked on the show. I've had people, and I'm very open about this, Senator. Yeah. I had a representative call me and ask me to take my Facebook photos off of the site because I have selfish selfies with them. And they're like, could you not have me in a bar? And I was like, yeah.
Shirtless.
I am destroying Illinois politics one selfie at a time. I feel a little bit powerful right now.
So anyways, I was going to my hotel room to read the Bible and then watch the Blackhawks game.
Excellent. We'll take a quick break here and find out how the three of you are watching the Blackhawks game. And I know that Natalie has to hit the road because she's got to get some rest for her appearance on WGN-TV Midday News. More after this. I'm pretty late. Once again, I want to thank all of my guests. I don't know who has to go. I know Natalie has to leave. She's got to get some rest, please. I don't want to be blamed for you being tired on the WGN Midday News and
I'll
for
tell
your hug.
Tom.
Yes, with Tom Skinner. Again, your CD release party is at 1383
North Milwaukee
Avenue, Davenport's, and your CD is Breaking Forward, so you can go to the CD party. Also, you're going to be there on Monday as well?
Monday as well, yes.
So tonight, Friday, Monday and Thursday again from 8 to 11. And,
every Thursday.
And find her CD on iTunes. Scott Santis, are you hanging out or are you done with me?
I actually need to go and write my comic strip.
Would you go write your comic strip? Would you get the work done, please? Scott Santis, you can find him on the ChicagoTribune.com site. But also this weekend, he is at the Lit Fest. Go to Chicago LitFest.com. No.
LitTix? Was that
LitTix. It was LitTix. And you can find out about all the events. Senator Katowski, I'm not letting you go. I'm kidding. You can leave as well if you need to go.
I have to go write my journal about my experience tonight.
Do you? Would you have to stay and you, I think this is the first. I think you should do the whole show. I think that you should stay for the. What's another half an hour? You can do it. Scott's events are at LitFest. He has events on Saturday and Sunday. June 6th is the Beatings Never Really Stop in conversation with Phil Ponce, and that's going to be at Jones College. And also he's going to be at it's Hotel Blake on June 7th from 1 to 1:45 with the create cartooning in a post Charlie Hebdo world.
Wow, so, très bien.
I'm just guessing. Oui. Très bien. Have a wonderful morning now that it's getting pretty late.
So fun.
Thank you. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And everyone's still saying their goodbyes. And I just gave my very first business card to somebody.
Yay, look at that.
I gave it to Natalie Muir. I'm not giving you one, Senator. You don't have one of my
business cards. That's technically the second one you've given out, though.
Did I give you my first one?
No, I watched you give one to Dr. Daphne Scott.
Oh, I gave one to, and then she told a story about how she gave me one. I gave it right back to her.
And then she gave yours back to you or no?
She may have. Okay. I think she kept it.
Okay.
Yeah, that is weird that she gave me her business card and I gave it right back to her. Like, don't waste this. I know where you are. I have your number in my phone.
I got all the information.
I don't know why.
And if you want me to appreciate what it looks like, I've done that now. Showing someone
Senator,
a picture.
Will you take one of my cards? Oh, well, you're carrying her stuff. That's so nice of you. Here you go.
Bucket list.
So
he's part of the band.
He's part of the band. He's a roadie now. Scott and Senator Gutowski.
Senator Dan Gutowski is a roadie.
Good night, sir. Thank you very much. Bye, Natalie. Bye, Scott. Hi, Susan Burgess. We haven't had a chance to say hi to you, and
hi.
I feel bad about that.
Well, here's what I feel bad about. I forgot about your hugging issue, and I totally hugged you yesterday.
No. I don't have a hugging issue. If you hug Craig, then you have to apologize.
She's reformed. She's a reformed.
Okay. I mean, I trust the being reformed, but man, I just busted out.
I commit to the hugging.
I think it helps her continue to hug that people hug her.
Yes. You know? That's absolutely true. It's like flying. Right. Like, I was afraid to fly. Right. And then one weekend, I was traveling for a tour that I was on. I had to take 7 planes in one weekend.
Yeah.
And that was it. There was nothing I could do. I had to get on the planes.
Well, you're saying all this. I just thought of what it would be like if a bunch of people tried to hug me for like a week. And that sounds terrible. That sounds awful. I don't want to be immersed into hugging.
So, yes. It's.
What about your wife?
Oh, I hug my wife. Actually, it took us maybe a month for me to do a lot more than like hold hands in public and stuff. Because she's very into the PDA.
Yeah.
From Mexico.
She's Latina.
Yeah, from Mexico. I guess that's not a big deal. Yeah. When you love someone, you show affection outside with the people. And it took me a month to be like, you know. This is okay, I guess.
Yes. I think I was always okay with PDA holding hands and things. Although I dated boys who didn't want to hold my hand in public.
I mean, holding hands seems innocuous. That one doesn't really matter. It's anything like a little kiss, this or that, to me sometimes did get a little weird.
Yes.
But
yeah,
now,
making out full. Like, I've seen people in comedy clubs just full on making
out. Just
going
at it.
Yes. Just going at it. Like, yes. Badly.
But now, if my wife is listening, honey, I love kissing you in public. No big deal.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yep. Yeah,
uh-huh. And it's not the demonstration of affection in public that made me flinch for hugging. We don't need to get into it, but it was very hard for me to be hugged for a long time. And then I had a friend in college who actually is my husband's best friend, childhood friend. It's how I met my husband. His friend asked me out and I said, no, but I know someone you should date. I introduced him to my best friend. They are now married, and at their wedding, Steve and I started dating. So that's how that happened.
Nice.
Wow.
Yes, but his best friend, very affectionate, aggressively. I think aggressive affection is something that I sometimes have a little bit of trouble with. People who, and this will happen, I'm sure has happened to you, Craig, where you say, they can tell that you don't like being hugged, then they commit and like just even more so. Like
they hug you twice as much.
Yes.
Just all the time.
And that's what Henry would do. Henry would do it to like, I would try to be okay with the hug. Mm-hmm. And then he would do the uncomfortably long hug where my whole body, like I could start myself, I would get nauseous.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, I had an aunt like that because I really haven't liked to be hugged for a while either. And I had an aunt like that when I was younger that just didn't care. Just hugged me all the time, lift me off the ground if she could.
Can I? And I'm speaking for myself entirely. If somebody is uncomfortable with being hugged, there's a chance that there's an underlying reason. So if you could just give that person the benefit of the doubt. And this goes along with like sometimes we say, why do you get mad? Why is it about if someone is uncomfortable with something and they tell you it makes you them uncomfortable, why is the reaction then to be aggressively even more angry about it or defensive? So, you know, just if someone says they don't like to be hugged or you sense it, just, you know, I think be respectful of that. Not to like, you know, more so like, I'm going to cure that. Yeah, that was from me. I knew that I, you know, it took me a long time. I don't even know. Cochran noticed it one time. We were doing a gig and people kept coming up to me and hugging me. And I do material and I am accessible. I talk to people after the show. I am having a conversation with you. And stand-up comedy is kind of an intimate situation. situation where you feel like I'm just talking right to you. So I realized that if people are going to hug me after the show, if this is going to be, you know, the way people want to communicate with me, I have to get used to it. So I chose that. But it's not easy when you have grown up not, you know, being comfortable with it. Handshakes are weird too. I noticed that a lot of women aren't quite sure about that. One girl gave me her hand tonight like this, like a
paw. She gave you a little like cat paw.
And so that, I mean, like what if two women do that at each other? What if I had done that
Yeah, you should have gone the opposite way. You should have pawed from underneath.
Yeah.
And then you guys interlock paws.
And then I would just held onto her hand and squeezed it and said, don't ever shake hands
and
like
that
again.
Face you're doing you're right now.
You can not do that.
No, handshaking is something I do a lot because I can tell that we're supposed to do some kind of interaction when I meet you.
Yes.
But it turns things really professional really quickly with almost everyone you meet. Like, oh, here's a handshake.
Which I think is fine. It's better than hugging is weird. How about when you go in for a handshake and someone else comes in for the hug?
Yeah.
And that's awkward because now you're jabbing them in the abdomen.
And I'm very upset with bros because they ruined high fives. I was a big, big fan of high fives.
They do the half
And now
half
bros,
hug.
They've ruined that.
They've ruined that.
It's a fist bump.
Well, the fist bump, too. I mean, do you explode your fist bump, though?
No.
Okay.
No.
You got to blow it up. You gotta,
why do you got to blow it up?
Because.
I think you blow it up when, like, I think after the I think the Blackhawks score, you blow it up, right?
Sure, yes.
Yes.
So you only blow it up in the biggest
cheering,
situation.
Okay. A celebratory way. But, like, if you, hey, hey.
Right.
You.
It's mostly just a fist
bump. I used to do this. When people would fist bump, I would do this.
You'd catch it?
Yes. And I would say, I can't say the joke that I would do because, you know what? Not only would it end up out of context, I would get in a lot of trouble for the joke. I'll tell you off the air.
Okay,
tell
good.
Us off
I'm
the
looking
air.
For that.
I'll tell you. And come to Zany's in St. Charles, and I'll do the joke in St. Charles at the Pheasant Run Resort.
You will also update the Blackhawks score on Saturday.
Saturday, I have tickets for that show. I have free tickets. I have a set of tickets, 312-981-7200 for Zany's in St. Charles. We have a 7:30 show and a 9:45 show, 773-495-3829, and love to see you out there. I'll also be there tomorrow night, Friday. More after this. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.
I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show. Do-si-do.
I think we pretty much got to nothing we meant to get to tonight. What do you do when you have such lovely guests and you have the state senator drops into the studio? I wanted to hang out with them, and that happens once in a while, and that's what we did. There were a lot of things we didn't get to, including I wanted to talk about the woman who was flying with United Airlines, and the flight attendant refused to give her an open can of soda. First of all, that was the issue, was it not, that she wanted the can to not be open? And it was because she had noticed another passenger had been given a can that was not open. And the flight attendant told her, and the passenger that we're talking about had a scarf wrapped around her head. She's Muslim, and she was wearing the appropriate headwear. And the flight attendant said that she would not give her an unopened can of soda because she could use it as a weapon, which I've never heard of that as being an issue, first of all, that we are worried about passengers using cans of soda as a weapon.
If you can use an unopened can as opposed to an open can, if that's the difference that turns it into a weapon, kudos to you, sir, because that is an amazing...
Are we using it as a projectile? And if it's open...
And it's not going to spill, at least. So
yes.
It's heavier.
Yes. Those who are using it as a weapon are like, I don't want things to get sticky.
Are you going to just shake it and then spray somebody? Because that's an unpleasant but not really a weapon.
I didn't understand the whole... I mean, first of all, just offensive and horrible
unfortunate. Oh, yeah, this is awful.
And then,
making light of it, but awful.
And then one of the other passengers, when the woman was trying to say, you know, I saw... She was making... you know, her thoughts, her concerns known to the flight attendant. And another guy on the plane said, told her to shut the F up. And you got nervous there, didn't you?
I didn't.
How tired are you tonight, Patty? I'm very tired.
What but is not your tired
mouth,
enough.
What's your mouth going to do next? yes, I think it's upsetting on so many levels. Yeah. One, to make a passenger feel like because they are of a certain race, racial background or religious background, that they can't be given a can of soda. Did you hear about this story, Susan?
I sure did. And the only way, I mean, if the can of soda was frozen, I could see, like, you know, if somebody did something weird. But the whole thing was just terrible. And she's no longer working, serving customers of United Airlines. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. And United, by the way, I really am so disappointed with your frequent flyer miles program. But that's beside the point. It has nothing to do with this story. But I really, again, like, how do you use that as a weapon? Because what's your next go-to move? You throw it, and that's now you're done with the weapon.
No, seriously. Not to make too much light of this situation, but the difference between an unopened and an open can, how does it become a weapon?
I'm
more intrigued by that super spies.
I would think if once it's open, you have sharp edges from the part.
Right. If you can turn a can of soda into a weapon, you can probably do it opened or unopened.
Yes.
I don't know that makes the difference.
Yeah, that's very strange.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. So that's one of the stories that we meant to get to. One mm-hmm. of the other stories we did not get to was this gentleman in Woodstock, Illinois, who...
91-year-old guy in Woodstock, Illinois, had a dream, Patty.
He had a dream.
He had one dream his whole life that he never got to accomplish.
Now, when we say dream, we don't mean like when you're sleeping and
right.
something comes to you.
Jill doesn't need to tell him what it meant. This is just something he's wanted to do his whole life,
mm-hmm.
and he finally got to do it.
He aspired to drive his car through his garage door. I don't understand how that comes to you. Maybe it's like every time you park your car, you're like, someday I'm just going to drive right through the door. But then do you decide to do it on purpose or did he do it on accident? That's really the very strange part of this whole story. But it was a long time wish for this gentleman to drive through his garage. And he really did. I mean, like he
took his SUV right through that door.
Right through the door. Door.
I mean, that's a pretty cool thing.
So it wasn't by accident, but he did it with his family's help. It's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, I think so. To want to do that your whole life and then to get to do it in your 90s, I think, if you have a lifelong goal, accomplish it.
Well, it says here that he wanted to, they're going to demolish the garage anyway.
Right.
So I guess if you're going to do it. But then aren't you also worried about the damage to the car and possibly to yourself? You're 91 years old.
It's a lifelong goal, Patty, you're not worried about anything.
Okay. You're not worried about it. All right. Dave, you wanted to join the conversation about the can of soda on the... Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
Usually, whenever I fly, I never get a can of pop. It's always they pour the pop into a plastic cup mm-hmm. with the ice. They just give you the plastic cup. And then they keep the can. So
I've seen it several ways. I've seen them that what they'll do is they'll pour you some and then say, would you like the rest of the can? And or they'll ask you. I have seen they'll ask you if you want the entire can. They'll give you the soda and then they'll put the cup on top of it and hand you the whole thing with the soda. I have seen the pop unopened.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah, but you're right. Usually, I think typically they pour you some and then they'll offer you the rest of the can.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. No. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that.
You have a good night.
You too. Be safe. Sounds like you're driving. Maybe he's at home and he's already safe, unless he's about to drive through his garage door. One of the other stories, I'm always worried about driving through the back wall of my garage. Do you have a garage, Susan?
Yes, and I worry about that every time I pull in.
Yeah, I'm always, we have a window in the back. And there's some furniture, like some things that we mean to get to there as well. And I'm always – and there's like a tennis ball that's supposed to hit the windshield in the back
right,
windshield.
Right,
but that's – I don't know where that ball went, so I don't have that marker anymore. Yeah. What do you have a sort of a marker for where you have to stop before you hit the wall?
No, I would hit a shelving unit first.
Right.
But – if anything got serious, I could hit the TV. So I think that somehow something would kick in and that would stop me.
Right. Yeah. At some point you feel resistance. You go slow enough.
Right.
Yes. Now, are you a fan of the Jurassic Park movies?
I read a couple of the books. I don't remember how many books came out. But back in the day, I read the books and I think I saw the first and second one
mm-hmm.
movies? How many are there?
There were three, and now the fourth is about to come out.
Okay, see the third, but you're excited about the fourth one.
I am kind of excited because one, I like the actor. That's Christopher Pratt, and he's from Guardians of the Galaxy. But there is a paleontologist who worked on the movie who says he is trying to create a real dinosaur, and he's hoping that will happen within the
real-life dinosaur.
Did he not see the first movie?
What do you mean? He's not making a whole park of dinosaurs. It's just a one-off.
But if you just make any of them.
It's just a little pet dinosaur. No big deal. Not going to go crazy at all. I don't know if it's a pet T-Rex or what he's looking for.
Yeah, but I think that, once you open that can of dinosaurs.
Can of worms. I mean, if you make two dinosaurs of opposite sexes and then they create more dinosaurs, I can see a problem there.
What if
but just one little pet dinosaur on a leash? You know, that'd be cute.
What if we find out that that kind of dinosaur can self-regenerate?
Self-generating dinosaurs?
Self-regenerate. Like,
you give up on life, Patty. You just throw in the towel. If they can self-generate.
I'm just saying. What if they can procreate without another, you know, they're a...
Yeah, like if they lose like a leg or something, they grow it back and then a new dinosaur grows from that leg.
That's what I'm saying.
That is amazing.
And we don't know. Dinosaurs are very straight. We were not there when all this was going down.
Wow.
We don't know what they're capable of.
I don't even know how to process this. You blew my mind tonight, Patty. I'm having a Craig melt.
You guys are pretty creative.
I don't know.
Think about that, though. If you made one dinosaur and then he's recreating more dinosaurs, that's, you give up.
What if he's like a gremlin? What do gremlins do? You get them wet? Don't they?
Well, and Hydra from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cut off one head. Three pop up.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You don't know the dinosaurs.
You gotta watch
can't
out for
that.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, these are, we can call them. We can let them know about these risks they're taking on. The self-generating risk. One dinosaur to many.
Yes.
Yeah.
What if they, after, if you feed it after midnight?
Let's interview the guy that's doing this tomorrow, not let him say any of his thoughts and give him a bunch of the things we think are problems with it.
Yes, exactly.
Like that one, like the self-generating aspect. I don't know if, you know, he'll give me one. That's my big problem. I would like one.
You would like a dinosaur?
A little pet dinosaur? How cool would that be at parties?
Again,
you know, like, you have a puppy, I have a T-Rex.
Again, did you not see Jurassic Park or Gremlins?
What goes wrong in those? I don't know. I always watch the beginning of Jurassic Park and then I turn it off.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum would tell you, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should.
Doesn't mean you should. Everything seems great in the first 10 minutes of that movie, and then I'm good. I'm done. I'm checked out.
Oh, man.
Right.
I don't think that's true. I think you're not being truthful.
They go and they see the, you know, the fences, and they're keeping the dinosaurs behind the fences, and then everybody's happy, I think. They all get a milkshake. Is that how it ends?
Yeah, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, cool.
I remember they are eating toward the end of the movie, and then there's, I think they have Jell-O on the spoon, and then you see the girl just trembling, or no, the boy's trembling. I was just
because of how fun night. It was? Is that... Yeah.
It's I just saw it the other day. He's okay. Doing this. Or is it her? I can't remember. The kids are trying to relax.
You were really shaking there.
Yeah. She can't talk because the dinosaurs.
Because of how much fun the park was.
Because one of the raptors, velociraptors.
I'm not listening.
Velociraptors comes
right.
In.
Yep. I want a pet dino.
No, you don't. Do you want a chickenosaurus?
I do want a chickenosaurus. I don't even know what that is. That sounds amazing.
And a Komodo dragon.
Oh, that sounds cool. But I mean, anything that's dragon.
You can do that now. Yeah.
Then we turn it into Game of Thrones, which is your favorite thing ever, Patty.
So I watched the last 5 minutes of Game of Thrones.
The last 5 minutes of the battle scene from last week.
Why is there a giant?
What now? 1-1? Are you talking about 1-1?
No, it's 1-1.
He's the name of the giant.
Yes.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's just flicking zombies off.
Oh, he doesn't care about the zombies at all. I mean, what makes a zombie apocalypse even better? Giants that, you know, are just beating up a bunch of zombies. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you don't like the show. I can't wrap my mind around it.
So all these people, they're in battle with these zombies and they all get killed. The zombies did not bite any of them.
They just kill them.
They just kill them. And then this guy with blue eyes blinks and then everyone that just died.
He's the king.
Okay.
And he brought everybody back to life. Again, I don't understand why you don't like the show.
I don't understand.
You can take a break.
Mm-hmm. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.